Audacity. Who gave you attitude?
Martinique records well over 10,000 new COVID-19 cases in 1 week and more in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup. I am Ken Richards, the news coming right up. Martinique recorded 10,306 new COVID-19 cases in the space of 1 week from 59,763 tests between January 10 and 16, local health authorities have disclosed. The more than 10,000 positive COVID-19 cases compared to 7,395 recorded the previous week. Trinidad and Tobago's new cases of COVID-19 stands at 918 with 14 deaths as of Wednesday and 579 patients hospitalized. Barbados, meanwhile, recorded 677 new COVID cases. The Best Dos Santos Public Health Laboratory identified 677 new COVID-19 cases, 300 males and 377 females, from 2,565 tests. St. Lucia's Ministry of Health, Wellness and Elderly Affairs confirms a total of 451 new cases of COVID-19. These samples were processed on Monday, January 17, from a total of 975 samples. And in Antigua, the most recent report received by the Ministry of Health, Wellness and the Environment revealed 305 new laboratory-confirmed COVID-19 cases in Antigua and Barbuda as of Friday, 14th January. 382 samples were processed. Meanwhile, public hospitals in Jamaica have gone into emergency mode as they face increased pressure during the growing number of confirmed and suspected COVID-19 cases. Here is TVJ News.
The Ministry of Health says the restriction will result in the postponement of elective cases. There is also decreased staff coverage as many healthcare workers are out sick. Up to Sunday, there were some 682 persons in hospital isolation for COVID-19. Of that number, 486 were positive and another 196 suspected. Health Minister Dr. Christopher Tufton says persons should exercise discretion in going to hospitals at this time.
Wednesday's general election was all about the BLP, with the other political parties which contested the election failing to win any seat. As one media house, CMC, put it, Barbadian voters bought into the philosophy that they are safer with Mayor wholesale and re-elected the ruling party into government, giving the BLP all 30 seats. She had apparently been convinced of the kind of result that would prevail when she called the election 18 months ahead of the constitutionally due deadline.
You can hear it in my voice and the voice of many of us. We wanted to start 2022 as far as possible on a fresh guard. We are a cricketing nation and we know what it means to take fresh guard. And you have given us that opportunity. I said on the 27th of May, 2018, that to whom much is given, much is expected. I repeat tonight that is our commitment to you, the people of this nation. I promised you at Bay Street that we would be the opposition to ourselves. And regrettably, there were those who felt that they would spawn their own opposition and do the things that would make this country almost difficult to govern. But tonight, the people of Barbados have spoken.
So why and how was Mayor Motley able to sweep the polls for a second straight time? It's a question I put to journalist and broadcaster Julius Gittens.
Ken, the election hinged yet again on leadership. and the coattails of Mia Amor Motley appear to be very, very long indeed, being able to sweep in all of her candidates, among them very many new faces to Parliament, to elective politics. And that must be seen as a coup for the Labour Party. For the Democratic Labour Party, an opportunity to reboot, a crushing defeat, which means clearly that the days of the party leader, Verda de Pisa, are numbered, having failed yet again to get into Parliament, along with some old stagers who were expected to give a good fight, and a number of new people who were also virtually unknown. So it's a question yet again of leadership and the opportunity to display that to the Barbadian public. And the Barbadian public took that argument.
Among those congratulating the BLP and its charismatic leader were the Prime Minister of Antigua and Barbuda, Gaston Brown, and the leader of Antigua's opposition, United Progressive Party, Harold Lovell.
I extended congratulations to my dear sister, Mia, on a most deserving and historic win. We both acknowledge that there's a lot of work to be done and pledge to continue to collaborate on regional, hemispheric, and international issues.
I take this opportunity to congratulate Prime Minister Mia Motley on this historic victory. I can say that she has certainly distinguished herself as one of the outstanding leaders for this region and for this period. It is clear that the people of Barbados are satisfied with her leadership, and they have given her a second mandate. I congratulate her, and I wish the people of Barbados well.
During the course of the campaign, I also would have engaged with Barbadians from all walks of life. And there really is nothing that substitutes that kind of intense engagement. And it refocuses us on the things that we really, really must do as we come out of the depths of this pandemic. We want to be able to get back to a point where persons can regain control over their movements and their lives. And we have done well as a nation, but we are still not out of the woods.
There was a bit of pomp and ceremony on Thursday in Bridgetown at the State House with the swearing-in of the Prime Minister and the Attorney General.
I, Mia Amor Motley, do swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Barbados according to law, so help me God. I, Mia Amor Motley, do swear that I will be faithful and loyal to Barbados, and I will uphold the Constitution and the law. And I further swear that I will conscientiously, impartially, and to the best of my ability, discharge my duties as Prime Minister.
The Prime Minister receiving the instruments of office. Now it's the turn for Attorney General Dale Marshall.
I, Dale Dermot Marshall, do swear that I will be faithful and loyal to Barbados, and I will uphold the Constitution and the law. And I further swear that I will conscientiously, impartially, and to the best of my ability, discharge my duties as Minister.
Following the eruption of La Soufriere volcano in St. Vincent, many elderly persons were brought to shelters and at least 50 were abandoned. Dr. Mary Davis of the Lewis Ponet Home addressed that issue.
After the explosive eruption of the La Soufriere volcano, most of our vulnerable population, the elderly, approximately 50 persons, were abandoned by their loved ones. Due to this, here this afternoon, we are here to mark the groundbreaking ceremony of this project, the Lewis Ponet Annex at the Orange Hill. This initiative will provide the necessary accommodation for the elderly.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Friday, January 21. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The Caribbean News Roundup. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. At 7:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 6 p.m. Let's get to know our region even better with OSAR Radio. Street Audacity Radio, where the music is both vintage and the 21st century. OSAR in a 24/7 impact mode, simply captivating.